If you take your Bibles, you can open them up to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. So, have you ever heard somebody say, hey, you have to be born again in order to be able to go to heaven? Well, what does that even mean? And where did that come from? To a lot of people, it doesn't make sense that you have to be born again in order to be able to go to heaven. But we will see that actually that term came from Jesus himself. Before we get started, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this day that you've given to us, and we just thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the heat too, I guess. And pray, Father, as we look at this morning's message about being born again, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just enlighten our hearts and our minds and help us to understand what it really means to be born again, what it really means to be saved, and the fact, Father, that your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, dying on that cross for our sins is the only way that we have to go through him in order to be able to enter into heaven, and help us to be able to comprehend that, help us to be able to understand that. I just thank you for all that are here this morning, and I thank you for those that are listening in, and I just pray that you would help me to preach this message in a way that is understandable, and I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in John 3:1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Nicodemus, a little bit of information, he was a Pharisee, he was a religious man who was highly regarded as probably one of the foremost teachers in Israel. He taught people about scriptures. He was part of the ruling council. And he begins his conversation here by calling Jesus Rabbi, probably just a form of respect, because he's curious about Jesus. And he implies that here that he came representing those members on the council by saying, we know that you are a teacher come from God. And the reason they know, he states, is because of the miracles that he performed. If only someone from God could be able to perform these miracles. But actually, as you study scriptures, you will find out that the ruling class itself was divided in its opinion of Jesus. Some of them set themselves against him. They saw him as a blasphemer. His teaching was just way out there in outer space. Now others, most of them hadn't even made up their mind yet of who Jesus was. And so Nicodemus says, but Nicodemus was personally attracted to Jesus because of these miracles that he performed. And he was curious about Jesus. I mean, who was this man who could make the blind see or the lame to walk? And you know, his curiosity was there. So who was Jesus really? And just what was it he was teaching about? Because even his teaching seemed different than anything that he had ever heard before. So he was like many others who believed in Jesus' miracles, but yet to believe in his teachings. In John 2:23, if you back up just a little bit, it says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So basically, this is where Nicodemus was at the time. See, a lot of people believed in Jesus because they saw the miracles. And so they believed in Jesus for what he could do, but they weren't believing in Jesus for who he really was at this time. See, their belief was superficial, and Jesus knew this because he knew their hearts and knew their professions were not real. So they believed in him because of what he could do. So really what they were saying or doing is they believed in Jesus for what they thought he could do for them, and not because they actually wanted to follow or commit their lives to him. Now, Nicodemus at this point was no different. So although Nicodemus gave the impression that he was there solely as a representative of the council, Jesus knew why he was really there. And so you in verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So notice Jesus also says, Verily, verily. And the Greek word for this means amen. In other words, it's trustworthy. So what Jesus, you'll see, he starts this out several different times. He says, Truly I say unto you, or what I'm about to tell you, Nicodemus, is the absolute truth. Pay attention. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again can also be translated, if you look the Greek word up, it can mean born from above. So the word, if you are born again, you are born from above. So unless a man be born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This took Nicodemus off guard. And in his mind, you know, he's aware, think of this, he's a Jew, he's aware that he was born a Jew, he's part of God's covenant people, he was a follower of God's law, and in his own understanding, this was that was all that was necessary to qualify him to enter into the kingdom of God. This is what he believes. And although he was not even aware of his own perception, really, His perception of the kingdom of God was wrong. Because, see, the Jews were looking for this promised Messiah who they thought would overthrow all the existing powers. They'd overthrow Rome. He'd conquer. This Messiah would conquer all the powers, and he would make Israel the greatest nation on the earth. They were looking for a worldly kingdom and not a spiritual kingdom where Christ ruled over the world in righteousness. Why would a Jew have to be born again physically? This is in his mind. See, he can't separate anything. Why would they have to be born again physically? And how was that even possible? In verse 5, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot come into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verily, verily. In other words, what I'm about to tell you is the absolute truth. Pay attention, Nicodemus. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water can be used to wash the body. It cleanses. It can also represent, in spiritual terms, the cleansing from sin. Our sin is washed away. The Spirit represents the agent or the power which is needed to bring about the new birth. In other words, the Holy Spirit. So there needs to be a cleansing, and then there needs to be a rebirth here through the power of the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, he says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So everyone that is sitting here today, including me standing here today, is born of the flesh and has a physical body. We're physically alive. Because scriptures teach that we are born physically alive, if you study scriptures, it'll also tell us that we are born spiritually dead because of sin. Because we're born spiritually dead of sin, we need to experience a new birth in the Spirit in order to have life. We need to be born from above. Here we are born physically, separated from God. During this life, somehow we must be born again from above, and the only way we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 7 says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So when you think about it, the wind cannot be seen, and yet it's a powerful force. You cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going, yet you can still feel its presence. This is how it is for those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, those who are born again. They cannot explain it or reveal the Holy Spirit that's in them, but they are aware of his presence and they can experience his power in their life. If you want to turn to Ezekiel 37, this kind of gives us an idea of what Jesus is talking about. Ezekiel 37:1 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round and about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So when you look at this here, what we see is there's a valley full of dead and dried up bones. They're dead. They're skeletons. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy and to speak God's word to the bones. So when Ezekiel speaks God's word to the bones come together and flesh appears on them. When they came together, they had no breath on them. They were like this. No life, just flesh and bones. They looked alive to Ezekiel, but they were still dead because they had no breath or spirit in them. God tells Ezekiel once again, speak God's word to the wind, and to tell the wind to breathe on these bodies and to give these bodies life. God explains that one day he will raise the bones of those who belong to him in Israel and shall put his spirit in them, and they will dwell in their own land. In other words, this is like the resurrection of the old saints who will go into the millennial kingdom. So this is these dead bones. But it is all done here by Ezekiel. Notice that the life came by speaking God's word. Okay, God could have just snapped his fingers and all that would have happened. But he told Ezekiel, speak my word, prophesy. So they, he spoke God's word and the bones hearing God's word. So it was both the Spirit of God and the Word of God which gave the dead bones life. Now, the wind represents the Holy Spirit, which has the power to breathe spiritual life into those who place their faith in Christ. Now, because we are born physically alive and yet spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God, we are spiritually like those dead bones. We may have flesh and blood, but we are like those dead bones spiritually. Doesn't want to stay there. Again, when the flesh came on the bones, they gave the appearance of being alive, but yet they were not. It was not until the Spirit breathed life into them that they became alive. So our lives are reflected by these bones. We may give the appearance of being alive in life, but we are born spiritually dead, and we need to be born from above in order to be able to experience life. So we may be physically alive, again, spiritually dead, and only by hearing the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit can we be made alive again, spiritually alive. Spiritual life only comes through hearing the Word of God. Those who respond to the Word of God through repentance are then made spiritually alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those that are made spiritually alive will, upon their physical death, partake in eternal life, which includes one day being resurrected with a spiritual body. Now, those who remain spiritually dead, you may be physically alive, but those in the world that remain spiritually dead in this life, upon their physical death, they will partake in what is called the second death, and that consists of being eternally cast into the lake of fire, separated from God forever. Just as those who are born again are given a body suited for eternal life, those who are cast into the lake of fire will receive a body suited for eternal damnation. In other words, they will have a body that feels pain, but it will never be consumed by the fire. Those who reject Christ should fear the day of their physical death, because it will be the beginning of suffering eternally to pay for the penalty of their sin. The punishment for sin is an eternal sentence with no hope of reprieve. There are no pardons. There are no paroles. Once you're there, you're there. This is why Jesus says you need to be born again, or you need to be born from above. Jesus tells us this is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me. He's not lying to you. The only way to heaven is through him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. You can believe him or not believe him. It's your choice. But in the end, both those who are born again and those who refuse to be born again will know that Jesus was telling the truth. Verse 9 says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? See, this was still very confusing to Nicodemus. Everything that he had learned and everything that he teaches goes completely against what Jesus is now telling him, and his mind could not comprehend the truth. Jesus points out that Nicodemus is a teacher of God's word. You're a teacher of God's word. And yet he cannot understand the spiritual aspect of God's word. He was responsible for leading God's people, others to God, and yet he could not even bring himself to God. And these are some of the scriptures. See, Nicodemus is a very intelligent man. He knows God's word. He knows that Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring." Isaiah 59:21 says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee and my words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Ezekiel 11:19 says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put my new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinance and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Ezekiel 36:26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will pour my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Psalm 51:9 says, this is David, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So, see, all these things point to Christ. They point to the Holy Spirit. They point to being born again. But yet, see, Nicodemus has read all that, and he's missed the spiritual aspect of what Scriptures is telling him. So although Nicodemus claimed to know God, he was actually blinded to the spiritual truth. Nicodemus had knowledge, but he lacked a spiritual understanding of its meaning. Verse 11 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." So again, notice that Jesus said, starts with, "I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me." When Nicodemus first started the conversation, he used the words "we." Remember? "We." And so now Jesus does the same thing. He says "we." By "we," he means himself and God the Father. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he came from heaven, and he knows what he's talking about. Before he was a man, he was the Son of God in heaven. He came down from heaven, so he knows exactly what heaven is. And if anyone can tell us what heaven is like, it's Jesus. So he knows what he's talking about. But if Nicodemus cannot even understand the earthly things that he's been told, how will he even understand Jesus if Jesus starts talking to him about heavenly things? Verse 14, Jesus continues. He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." And I'm going to take you to that. It's Numbers 21:4. I'm just going to read that to you. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." In other words, we hate the food you're giving to us. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So this here, when you look at this, this is both a story of punishment and grace. When they complained and rebelled against God, the consequences brought death. Venomous snakes appeared and began biting the Israelites. Their venom was deadly. They bit you, you were done. Many people were dying, and there was absolutely nothing that they could do to escape the snakes. They were all over the place. Realizing this was a consequence of their sin, their complaining, their whining, and their moaning, they went to Moses, they confessed this sin, and asked Moses to intercede for them. They needed Moses to be the interceder for them, for intercession. So God told Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who was bitten and looked at the bronze snake would live. Sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Just look at this snake and you'll live. Well, why would they live? Because God said they would live. Now, by faith, the people took God at his word and believed that if they looked at the bronze snake, that they would be saved from death. Jesus uses this as an example of how he will be lifted up and crucified in order to pay the penalty for mankind's sin. And in doing so, would be able to offer forgiveness. We go to Jesus. He would be able to offer forgiveness and life to all those who look upon him by faith. Just like they could live if they looked at the bronze snake, you can live if you really look at Jesus, which means repentance, a change of life. You can be born from above. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This is all of us. Every one of us was shapen in iniquity, and sin did our mothers conceive us. So we were conceived in sin. The moment of conception, we were sinners. It says, truly I was formed in evil, and in sin did my mother give me birth. So what we need to understand is that right from the moment of conception, we are born sinners. Okay? Made alive sinners. In fact, from the moment of conception, as we're having life, we're also dying. It's the beginning of death for us. Because of Adam's transgression, we are all born in sin. Sin not only leads to physical death, but it leads to eternal death, which is separation from God, who alone can give us life. Because we have fallen short of God's glory, the only way that we can escape being punished for our sins and suffering eternal death is by looking and placing our faith in the only one who can save us. And that's Christ. Just as the Israelites repented and looked upon the serpent and lived, we can repent. And by repentance, we mean a change of heart. We're looking at sin now the way God sees it. Okay? Sin is ugly. It's disgusting. It's terrible. And every one of us are guilty of committing it. So we repent. So we have a different outlook of what sin is now. It's terrible. Okay? So we repent first, and then we place our faith in Christ. We look to him, and because of our repentance, he can give us salvation. He's the only one that can save us because he died to pay the penalty for those sins on that cross. He took the wrath of God upon himself. So those who were bitten by the snakes and refused to live, can you imagine being an Israelite? You got bitten by, I ain't looking at that snake. Ain't no way I'm looking at it. Flop over dead. They died because they refused to look at the only thing that God said would cause them to live. In the same way, we have been bitten by sin. We are conceived in sin, and we are guilty of committing sins. We have a nice way of saying, well, we're only human, everybody makes mistakes. See, we sugarcoat sin, but we know that we are sinners. No one can deny that they've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being born sinners, we do that which comes naturally to us, and that is sin. The only cure for our sin is through the cross of Christ. We must repent and look to Him to deliver us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. And if we do, and when we do, we can then enjoy eternal life. We will be born from above. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Listen to what it says. The wages of sin is death. Okay? We're born sinning, so we deserve to die. But the gift of God, what is the gift of God? The fact that Jesus Christ took our sins and our punishment in our stead and our place. Because He did that, we have the opportunity of experiencing eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as you read down through there, I'm not going to say much. This is a familiar verse. 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already." See, we're born condemned. But if we believe in Him, we're no longer condemned. Because he's condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh into the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh into the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So those who love evil refuse to come to the light because they don't want their sin exposed. Those who do come to the light have their sins exposed. They repent of them and seek God's strength to live righteously. Now, understand what Jesus is telling you here. There is no other religion that can get you to heaven. There is no other way. There's no being as good as you can be or whatever. You can't earn your way to God. Jesus is saying the only way that you can get to heaven is through me, because I paid the penalty for your sin. I took it upon myself. So if you will put your faith in me that I can save you, you will be saved. But if you don't come to me, if you refuse to believe that I'm the only way, you will find out in the end that I'm the only way. And you wonder how many people sitting in churches today that are just like Nicodemus. They are religious people who try to do what is right, and yet they're lost. How many people can quote God's word and even tell you Jesus died for the sins of the world, and yet they themselves are not born from above? Like Nicodemus, they think because they're religious, they think because they go to church, they think that because they're relatively good people that somehow they're going to get into heaven. But they're not. See, God tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory, His glory. And we are all in need of placing our faith in Jesus in order to gain life. How about you? How about those that are listening in? If you were to die, think about this. If you were to die today, once you walk out those doors or at home listening, if you were to die today, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would have eternal life. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're born from above? Is it heart knowledge where there was true repentance, or is it just head knowledge that that's where it's at? You know, you can quote, you can act, you can talk, you can walk like a Christian, but you aren't one. So if you were to die today, do you know beyond of a shadow of doubt that you're going to be with Jesus? Think about this. Eternity is forever. Forever and ever and ever. And those who die without Christ will be nothing but a future of suffering for eternity with no escape. This is our wilderness. Just like the Jews in the desert, that was their testing ground. Very few of them ever entered into the promised land. This is our testing ground. As long as we have breath, we have the opportunity to place our faith in Christ and believe in Him. But once we draw our last breath, it's done. There will be no more opportunities, no second chances. So we are either going to live forever, or we're going to suffer forever in the lake of fire. And we need to understand that. And today, if there is anybody here, that I pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten your heart and mind and help you to understand you can be the best person in the world, you can be a good person, you can be all, everything, but you know what? You're without Christ, you're still going to go to hell. Father, we just thank you for this time we could look into your word. And Father, I do pray for us that we do understand what it means to be born from above, to be born again. Father, I just pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds and help us to understand this. And if there is anyone who really isn't sure where they're going to go, then I pray that the Holy Spirit would help them to understand that all they need to do is repent, admit they've sinned against you, just look to Christ who died for our sins and place our faith in Him. And that's all. It's so simple. We can have eternal life. But it involves repentance. It involves a change of life. And so, Father, help us to understand this, because one day eternity will start for all of us. And I just pray that we will be there with you. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.